guilty of sin. Give freely without begrudging it, and the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. There will always be some among you who are poor. That is why I am commanding you to share your resources freely with the poor and with other Israelites in need. Do you see the heart behind that? As he's setting up his country, everyone gets debt-free every 7 years, no exceptions in the land. Well, the foreigners were exceptions. Boy, talk about incentive to join the country, hey? Can you imagine if you just called up Visa? Sorry, guy. It's January 1st on the 8th year. Ha, I owe you zero. That'd be great. What a different way our lending would be, hey? You wouldn't get institutions who profit off the inability or the hardship of others. Boy, 20% interest on credit cards. Good golly. That's how God set his country up. He cares for the needy. Oh, he's going to bless his people. But there will always be poor. There will always be needy. I want to hit one more scripture, and then I want to share with you my testimony, and we're going to close. We're going to jump over to 2 Corinthians 9. No, we're going to jump to Malachi. I apologize. I thought that was odd. I don't think it'll be a shock to anyone in the room that God calls us or not requires, that's the wrong word, but God's instruction is to be generous people, right? We know that. That's not, right? No one's mind's just getting, wait, what? Okay, cool. I wanted to hit Malachi 3 because I have found this promise to be absolutely true. Absolutely true. God loves you. Malachi 3, verse 6. I think I'm just going to read it, and then we'll talk about it. I am the Lord, and I do not change. Okay, wait, I need to preface this again or just give you the context because we can't just read this and then read it into our own situation. This is God scolding his people, right? If you know the story of the Old Testament, it was, again, more like ebbs and flows where the people of God would reject God and worship idols, and then God would punish them and send them into exile, and then they would repent and come back to God, and he would draw them back to himself and set up his nation. They would prosper and flourish, and then they would reject God in their abundance and back into exile. This was kind of the highs and lows. That's the pattern of the old. This is right before another exile, I believe, or this was like the last word before Christ showed up 400 years later, I think. Anyways, Malachi says to them, or God says to his people, I am the Lord and I do not change. This is why you descendants of Jacob are not already completely destroyed, right? He's pretty ticked off with them. And he's got a list of issues. Anyways, ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my laws and failed to obey them. Now return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how can we return to you when we have never gone away? Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse for your whole nation. The whole nation has been cheating me. They ain't paying their taxes. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. Remember, that's how he provides for widows and orphans and the hurting and the needy. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord Almighty, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't even have enough room to take it in. Try it! Exclamation mark. Let me prove it to you! Exclamation mark. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not shrivel before they are ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord Almighty. This is the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. In fact, there's multiple places where it says, do not test the Lord your God. God says that here, test me. And so I have an encouragement for you. We're going to jump over to 2 Corinthians here right now. And I want to encourage you to test God. Take him at his word. Try it. But that's your own heart. That's your own situation between God and yourself. And if you disagree, totally fine. Totally great. Love you. We don't keep a ledger. We don't. Right? Someone else does the tax receipts. I don't do that. And I wanted to bring this subject because I don't get paid from the church. So I wanted to keep that optics off of Chad because that's a big criticism. Church just wants your money. No, we don't want your money. But we don't want you enslaved to it. God wants to set you free. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 10. And again, I want to give you the context of what's going on here. This is 2 Corinthians. This is after the ascension of Christ, right? After Jesus has died, rose again, ascended, the Holy Spirit's fallen. The church is growing throughout the ancient world, and in this window of time, the church in Jerusalem fell on horrendous persecution, and they were really struggling, and the church in Corinth, because this is Corinthians, had decided voluntarily to raise funds for them. So they were raising, they were specifically taking an offering to send the church in Jerusalem to help them in their time of need. Okay, so I want to just make sure you preface that we preface this, but this gives a picture on the heart, hopefully, that we bring to the Lord when we think of our finances. Remember this: a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. I want to just reread that one sentence. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. So if you feel pressured, don't. Go to God and pray. Just take that to Him. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't. He has provided for this place. So don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, godly people give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. For God is the one who gives the seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will give you many opportunities to do good, and He will produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Amen. Can we be free in that? Okay, but in times that we feel about money, how are we doing with that? And this is where I want to make sure we bring the word of the Lord, and then I want to kind of set it over here and walk over here and give you my testimony, because that's God's word, and this is, we can disagree, but what I wanted to share with you is the goodness of our God and how His arm is long, His hand is strong, and He never struggles to provide for His own people, ever. And so when my wife and I were getting married, we were quite young. Oh man, we were way too young. Young and dumb, but we did it anyway, right? That's how that song goes. We had talked about it, and we decided that the Lord impressed on our heart that we're going to tithe straight up, full on. We saw in the Bible 10%. We're just going to do that. That's us. We put that on ourselves. We have decided that. It has grown into such a joy. It is a delight. And what is really cool is how God has carried us through an entire lifetime. We're in our early 40s. I'm in my early 40s. She's still 29. He has always carried us, and He has never struggled to provide. And so much of, and we've talked about this before, our life seems to have this very distinct lack of pain. Do you know what I mean? And I see that a lot in people at our church. There's this very, the world would call it like weird, like there's just not as much pain in your world as what the outside world seems to have. And I personally attribute a lot of that back to this faithfulness, and that we have been faithful to the Lord. Not perfect. We've missed it several times. It's not that we have, but we have a track record of being faithful in it. And when things are good, it was just never a thought. But there have been many times in our life, specifically several times, where we just didn't have that much. And we were holding that cash, because that was back before e-transfers. And we're talking to each other going, we cannot afford, we had one cell phone for the house and cable television, and we could not afford both. And wouldn't you know it, the tithe was right in that same realm of money every month. And it just wasn't a conversation. Okay, I guess God doesn't want us to have cable television. And so what was really great is we had made that call and that decision together. And another thing I wanted to encourage you guys with is, if you're married and you disagree with this on your spouse, don't make this a hill to die on. This is a sub-secondary. Keep peace in your marriage. Don't bring this up and crack your marriage over this. God does not need your money. He wants you to be free. And peace is more important than this topic. Anyways, we had peace, and we had that in our marriage. But once we had decided to do that, okay, then we're going to cut television. It was a handful of days. We didn't even have time to call the company and cancel it yet. I got a call from a previous coworker who had switched companies, climbed into management, and needed help in oil field programming again. And he called me up and go, hey, Jer, want to get back into oil field programming? I kind of would. Can you tell me some details? It was a $6 an hour raise. Holy crap. I went from 24 to 30 an hour that week. And God just shows up again and again. He has done that. We have had him move the government. We've had him move the government to provide for us. And the faith that grows in that walking in obedience, and then high times, and then when God takes you through the desert, and oh man, that season of life where we had one car, and wouldn't you know it, making more money that time, that tithe was about the price of another car, was just never a conversation with my wife and I. She woke the baby up at 6:30 to put him in a car, put her, because we only had one at the time, in a car seat to drive me to work, because I had to be there by 7. It was all the way across town if she needed the car for things. Because this was what we had decided. Okay, then God expects us to live on the 90. The 10 is his, and we gave that. And through all of that, he just kept providing. And then when we got to the end of the month and we're going, okay, I guess it's macaroni and cheese for, hopefully we can afford to put hot dogs in it. And then you open a letter from the CRA. Oh, yeah, that's always good news. Oh, sorry, Jer, we had miscalculated your taxes. Here's $500 back. What? God never struggles to provide. And so I've found the promise in Malachi to be true. And the seasons in life, sorry, I should actually just end that little story. 3 months later, when we weren't really tight for cash, because that, you know, life ebbs and flows, we got a letter from the CRA again going, oops, that was actually an error. We'll take it off your next upcoming income tax. And I'm just like, yeah, thanks, God. We needed it then. We don't need it now. Well, they'll take it off the upcoming income tax return. I found Malachi to be true. Now again, what Celine and I had come to our own conclusion, that is before God and us. That has nothing to do with you. I've shared that with you. That's part of our equation. You don't need to do, like, it's your decision to do however you choose. But my encouragement that I wanted to bring to you is, consider what that means to be faithful with your finances. Now we're at a stage in life where I feel like I'm in the land of milk and honey. You know what I mean? The absolute promised land. We can afford cheese. I love cheese. Right? It's one of those privileges that over my life, I don't hold with closed hands. I accept that the Lord may very well take me through another valley where we can't afford cheese. But I have learned and I know that he will carry me through that. He will absolutely carry me through that. He never struggles to provide. He can part seas. He can rain manna down from heaven. He can pull fruit out of deserts. I've actually often, not often, but I've heard the argument against Christ or against Christianity as a thing. Yeah, well, what about all the Christians in Africa that starve to death? I've never heard of one. I'm not saying there aren't, but I've never actually heard of one. Now, I've heard of people who pray to the sun and moon starve to death, and if you're asking the sun and moon for help, God shouldn't intervene. It would be cruel of him to then intervene and miraculously provide and teach those people to pray to the sun and the moon. If heaven and hell are real places, God must not. Like, it would be cruel of him to do that, wouldn't it? But I've heard of Christians pulling fruit out of deserts. I've heard of Christians pulling fish out of ponds that have no fish. I've heard of food just showing up on doorsteps. So when we come to talk about finances, I'd encourage you to take that to the Lord yourself, because the goal is freedom. We don't have a giving goal up here. We don't have a thermometer trying to raise funds. Nope, not at all. But regardless of what you decide, this is my exclamation mark I want you to hear. If you are a part of this family, Provost Community Church, and you have need, please come in. Please come in. If your pantry's empty, we want the opportunity to fill it. We want that opportunity. The house of the Lord provides first for the children of the Lord. We will not do this for the greater community. I love that there's a community food bank, and we will support that and all that jazz. But if you're a part of our family and you're not sure how you're going to pay your electrical bill, please come talk to us. We aren't committing that we will, but we want to be a part of that. We want to support that. Does that make sense? If you come to us and you're struggling making the payment on your second boat, we're going to have a conversation about wants and needs. The leadership team here will answer to God how we steward God's money. But if you decide that you want to, not want, that you're going to start giving regularly, my advice is to choose a number that you and God decide and give regularly. That regular thing has produced such fruit in my wife and Maya's life. That's the testimony I wanted to bring before you guys, because I have a 20 plus years of being faithful in it through the highs and the lows. And again, we have been towed to bankrupt twice, and God has just pulled us back and provided. And oh, the beauty and the joy that that produces. If you choose to do that, this is where I also wanted to get to, because another big complaint against the church when it comes to money, and I want to just address it, and the leadership team is going to answer to God for how we manage the funds that come into this entity. But that's God's money. Full stop. Period. That's God's money. If you don't like how we're spending it, that's okay. But no offense, we're not going to answer to you. Our books are open. It's a public thing. You can see where our money goes. And we do have, like, if you choose to give, there are different ministries specific that you can fund to or put money towards. Like, sure, great, whatever. But the reality is you likely won't agree with everything the leadership team does with the money. But, I mean, that's between you and God. My view of what my wife and I have decided is that's not my money. I give it to God. Now, if those people are unfaithful with it, he'll hold them accountable. That's his problem. But I have sometimes seen churches not do what I wanted them to do with the funds. So I wanted to encourage you that if you go to the Lord and you kind of come to some type of, that in your heart you want to try him and test him in that, please consider it his money. If you want to come in here and go, I will give, but I want you to do this with it, keep it. We love you. We're not going to debate and argue over what we do with our money here. We love you. Now, be a member. Sign up. Be a member. I encourage you to do that, because then you can vote on what we do with the funds. You can vote on building stuff and doing this and doing that. Like, absolutely. And we are a group. We are a family. But if we choose to support someone in our midst that you disagree with or how we do, I love you. Too bad. I don't know how to say that more politely. Like, you don't have to. But we're going to do our best. And from my heart, I as part of the leadership, because I am part of it, if you don't trust us enough to put money here, why are you here? No offense, but if you don't trust the leadership team, hey, I love y'all. Welcome to church. How about I pray to close? Did I miss any other points? I'm sure I did. I was here for 6 hours trying to get this straightened out in my head. Okay, well, I hope you guys heard freedom. And if this sits ungood with you, that's okay. It might not actually be for you at all. And that's reasonable. That's okay.
Well, I heard you, but I didn't hear freedom talk.
Be free in finances. If you are enslaved to it, this is how to be free. I would encourage you to trust the Lord with it. The freedom that I've found is that when I don't have enough money and I'm worried in my bed, I'm laying at night and I'm turning, going, when is money coming in? What bills are due? I don't know if I'm going to make electrical this month, maybe twice next month. This is, thank you, Tristan, because I forgot this part. In the seasons of my life where we have fallen behind in being faithful, that stress has amplified tenfold. This is, again, my wife's and I's story. Don't bear this on yourself, but I have found in, it was more in past times, but when, you know, before e-transfers made it so convenient, we'd fall behind, and you get 4 weeks behind, and then 6 weeks behind, and then 8 weeks behind, and it struck me every time, situations at work got harder. And it's not that work changed, but the relationships at work, like, how did that get harder? Having a marriage, being married, got harder. It was strained. There was more stress. There was less peace. There was all of those, and it was about 6 to 8 weeks in, it hits me going, when's the last time we tithed? And I dig through the records back when you had to do that on paper. Oh my gosh, it's been like 2 months. A couple of those times, we actually did the math and we made it up, but the reality is we started just starting again, because it's not a debt owing. It's not a debt. This isn't a weight, and if you view it as a weight, then don't. Then take it to the Lord and just leave it before him. But the freedom is when you are what you consider to be faithful, when you've decided on faith, and or when you've decided on how you're going to be faithful with your fund. To do that faithfully, is so freeing. Does that make sense? And when we had much and we had little, when we failed to tithe, when we failed to be obedient, tithe is a beautiful word to me. I know I say that and it offends some people, but it has actually become sweet on my lips because it's been a source of such joy. When I've fallen behind in that, and we've never done it on purpose, but just fell, all of that panic, all that stress amplified. And so where the freedom is in that obedience. And however that looks between you and God, love you. It can be completely different from what I view. Great, love you. It can be zero. Great, love you. Makes no difference. That's the freedom. The freedom is obedience before the Lord. Okay, let's pray. I hope y'all are free with your finances. I hope y'all are free from the stress and the panic or the weight of it. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thank you, Father, that you reminded Tristan to remind me to bring up the freedom. Lord, I want to thank you that I got to do that at the end there. Father, I want to pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to the hearts of people and that my words, which are insufficient, Lord, and they are always going to be insufficient, that you will use them, Lord, only to glorify your name. You don't need money. You have no need whatsoever. But God, we ourselves, we are human, and we have a tendency to get enslaved to temporary things. And Father, your goal, you came that we would have life and have it abundantly. You didn't come to judge and to condemn. Lord, we were already condemned. You came to set us free and to give us life and give it abundantly. And through Christ Jesus, God, we are free. We can celebrate and we can dance because we get you and you have us. And this subject is not a barrier in any way to that. So Lord, I want to thank you. And I want to thank you, Father, for the freedom that you have brought me in this world. Lord, this subject, I thank you for the freedom. I was taught at such a young age, and I've lived a life in that freedom. Thank you, God. So Lord, I surrender this to you, and we just give these people to you and this time to you, Father. Hallowed be your name. In your name we pray. Amen. Be blessed, brothers.